So we wanted to kind of wrap up this series today with Mike. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Mike in just a few moments. But I want to jump back in, kind of the conclusion of this series, the story that we've been in. Moses leading these people. And God comes to Moses and he tells them, hey, you're going to take the people right up to the edge of the promised land. And then you're going to die on a mountain overlooking it, never actually going in. And so that's kind of where we are at this point of the story. And so Moses travels there, and Moses says to the Lord, may the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in. So the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. And so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Now, personally, I hear this part of the story, and I always think the first thing that comes to mind is this is not fair, right? We've talked about that before. Moses leads these people for 40 years through the wilderness. He's at the end of his life. He spent basically this entire time with really, really difficult people, and then God says, hey, you're not going to get to go in. And I think this is where Moses just needs to speak up and like, wait a minute. No. This is not fair. And he doesn't do that. He doesn't complain. He doesn't say this is not fair. The very first thing Moses says to God is, but what about the people? What about these people? What's going to happen? Because you have this progression with Moses where he's 40 years old and he kills the guy and he flees into Midian, and he's going to spend the next 40 years basically in obscurity where no one knows him, no one knows where he is. And then God's going to call him at the age of 80 to lead his people through the wilderness. He's going to call him, and so now he's about 120 years old. He's on the edge of the promised land. He's deeply, deeply, deeply invested in the people. And his concern is, what about them? So Mike preached at Shiloh. He was the very first preacher. And just, I cleared this up with Jay earlier. It's not, understand, this is not Moses, Joshua, and then Mike. There's a lot of years between.
Thank you.
A lot of years between, okay? But Mike preached at Shiloh for 28 years, the very first preacher, when everything got going. And then now you've been an elder for 18, 19 years, right, at Shiloh.
Something like that.
And so you've seen the good, the bad, the ugly,
yes,
everything in between of that comes with ministry. But I want to kind of go back to 1977,
okay,
right, and the start of Shiloh. Starting out, what did you think leadership was, and what are some things that you understand now that you probably didn't back then?
Well, my perspective really goes beyond the start of Shiloh. I mean, I've been preaching since, say, was it AD 33 or 34? a long time ago, well over 50 years. And I've seen a lot of different kinds of leadership. I grew up at a time many of you will identify with. We thought our elders were bosses, and they needed to be. We picked good businessmen who came to church all the time. And that had to do with our expectations, our understanding, and we had to grow in that. You know, we had to come to learn. We realized when Shiloh started, I mean, we had come a long way. We were getting new perspectives, and we knew if this church was going to survive, we started off in a storefront.
Yeah.
You know the history. We wondered if, will we make it? We wondered if we will survive. And we knew, we kept reminding ourselves. And at first, we didn't have any elders, of course. But we kept reminding ourselves, only if the Lord blesses us, if he is pleased with us, are we going to survive. So that helped shape us an awful lot. We want to be God's people. We want to be faithful to Him. We want to be serving Him. And it was only a few months later that we did begin to select elders. And we were looking for shepherds. We understood, I think, the concept of shepherd. I think it has grown over the years.
Yes.
Even deepened. But I think then we realized the concept of shepherd. We didn't want lords, and we didn't want bosses. We didn't necessarily want good businessmen. We wanted men who knew the Lord and loved the church because of it.
Yeah, and it's so easy in ministry for everything just to become almost like this corporate structure where, oh, we have these jobs and da da da. But one of the things we talk about a lot as leaders is it is all about the people, right?
Yes.
It is, and that's what you're talking about here is shepherding.
Yes.
It's not just, hey, let's get things done. What can we accomplish? Let's grow. It's we are concerned about the people. And that's what I loved about Moses in this, is it's not, this is not fair. It's, what about the people?
The people. I think that's beautiful where his heart was. But these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you almost can identify and feel sorry for Moses. He got so frustrated with them. Mm-hmm. He was trying to
your people
help. And sometimes, you know, Lord, are you mad at me? Why would you do this to me? But I understand the responsibility and the burden that goes with that.
Yeah.
To love these people. These are God's people.
Yes.
You know, it's a pretty scary, profound thing to say, I mean, you know, you and I both, we've talked about this. Understand what I'm saying here. Who are you? How dare you stand up here and say, people of God, I have a message from God for you today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
pretty audacious.
Pretty awesome. And you've got to understand God has called me to this role,
yeah.
And only He empowers me to do this. And who dares say, I'm a shepherd over God's people? That's pretty awesome, and it's pretty scary. There's one of my favorite verses. It's found in 2 Corinthians 2. Paul talks about ministry. We're called to ministry, and he asks a question. And who is adequate to these things? Who dares say they are adequate to such a calling?
Yeah.
And then, not fortunately, blessedly, a few verses later, he answers that. And he says, our adequacy is from God. We're looking right now for some men like Moses,
yeah,
who love the Lord and love His people.
One of the things I loved in Moses here is the posture. Because this would have been the perfect opportunity when he gets to the end, he knows he's not going to make it, to say, hey, God, it's time, and I got to tell you, I have a son. Actually, I have two, but my oldest one especially.
Mm-hmm.
Be really good. But he doesn't. He comes to God and he says, Lord, would you appoint someone? Would you appoint someone? What do you think the importance is in that posture for really all of us as we're beginning this? Lord, you appoint these people.
I think the way we're approaching it, asking everyone, you spend some time in prayer and fasting, this is important. This matters. In all of this, you know, starting with Moses, you said his posture. Let me put that in a little different words. Our expectations for each other and for ourselves. And let me talk a minute about some expectations, some that are good,
yeah,
and some that are maybe not so good. Sometimes I think some may have the idea that we're electing a representative, kind of like Congress.
Yes.
You know, and I want to vote for this guy
This part of the church needs a representative.
Yes. Just or me and my group, we need a representative. And so we want to vote for this guy because we feel like he will represent our view or our wants and our likes. And don't do that. That's wrong. He is not your representative. You want to encourage, endorse a man, not because he feels the same way that you do about everything, but because he loves God, he loves the Lord first and foremost and above everything else, and he wants to do what is right in his sight, not yours. Because then when we elect this representative, when we do it like that, we think, if I'm unhappy about something, I'm going to come to you, and you're going to fix it for me. I'm going to tell you, you know, whatever, something that Gary's doing, something that Chuck's doing, something that one of the deacons is doing, I don't like it. And you're going to take that back to the elder and say, you know, my man doesn't like that. There's a temptation on the part of the elder himself to be the hero here, you know, up. I'll see what I can do about fixing that. Instead of saying, sit down here and let's talk about this. That's a teaching moment, really. Let's talk about this. I hate to bring up any particular issue. We've heard a bunch of them. But all right, I'm going to bring up one. About you.
About me?
Yeah. Somebody mentioned they didn't like how you dress.
Oh.
See, I came from, see, for many, many years, we wore a suit up here. Preachers wore a suit and a tie up here. We didn't do that? Didn't we do that? And along comes this young sprout. Look at how he's dressed. You know this?
We're wearing the same thing, gray, gray and white.
Hey,
your moccasins.
I've adapted. You've been a bad influence. Look what you've done. But somebody came one time. More than one, maybe even. You know, how come this new young preacher doesn't dress like a clergyman, you know? And rather than say, you know what, I'll take that back to the other elders and we'll speak to, we'll fix that. No. We sit down with that person and say, let me get you to rethink this. Let's look at the scripture. Can you find anywhere in here where Jesus mentions one word about how we ought to dress or not dress, or how a preacher should or should not dress, or how an elder should or should not dress? As soon as you show me that, we're going to get right on it. But until then, I think it's great that we can, he wants to relate. We want to relate. I don't wear a coat and tie anymore either. I'm glad we don't have to.
And there's nothing wrong with it. If you want to.
No, if you want to do that, that's fine. But
100%.
To expectations, I expect this of you. Yeah. Well, let's change that expectation a little bit.
Yeah.
You want me to go on? I've got to think of something else.
Well,
or you need back in?
Well, let's jump back in.
Okay, jump back
to here.
Okay.
Because there will be plenty more that comes up. But
okay.
One is Moses early in his life. It's all about me. It's I can't speak. Or why would Pharaoh listen to me? Why have you given me this burden? But at the end, it's don't destroy these people, right? It's appoint someone, give them a shepherd. And this transformation that happens, because at the beginning, it's all about him. And then towards the end, it's all about them. Like, hey, let's take care of these people. So how important do you think that perception and understanding is for a shepherd, right?
Oh.
The humility.
Absolutely. Yes. You said, is it going to be somebody who loves the Lord, loves the church? And I love the songs that we picked. Good job.
I picked most of them.
You picked most of them? I'm sorry. Never mind.
I really didn't. We have a team that does that.
I know. You know, we really have a whole lot of fun with this. I hope y'all realize that. This is a sweet, wonderful, fun fellowship that we have here. The concern for the body.
Well, and, but the humility of the person, okay. I think, is in essence what we're trying to get to.
Yes. And so let me put that in this form. If you're thinking that elders, I want to be an elder because an elder has authority. Oh, no. No. We have, this may sound strange to some of you, but we have no authority. Remember Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth had been given unto me. This is the kind of thing, husband and wife, have you ever told Cammie, woman, you better respect me and obey me and submit to me like the Bible says?
Just last
probably
night.
Just one time.
Just last night.
Probably. Not more than once, anyway.
She's not in here right now.
So. I know. So it's safe for you to say that. But somebody will tell her. But it's like the respect and submission that a wife gives to her husband is because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I give you this. Can't be demanded by him, by the husband. You know, husband, woman, you better.
There's the couch.
Yeah. Well, I said that one time to my wife, and I didn't see her for 3 days. After the third day, I could see her a little bit out of this eye. It is, and the leadership of elders is the same thing. We don't demand it of you. It is yours to give.
Yeah.
That's the kind of man that you're looking for, is one whom I trust.
Yeah.
I will give him not only when he does something that I agree with, when they do something I don't agree with, I trust them, and I'll follow them. I will give them that. We can't demand it. You have to give it.
And Moses had such a healthy sense of that. Lord, these are your people.
Yes.
And if you're not going with us, then we're not going. It's always like, Lord, these are yours. And there's, you know, the one time we looked at last week where God's like, they're yours. Your people did this. And
That's when your wife says, your son
your
did
son.
This.
You know what your son did? Yeah, and it's there's this incredibly healthy sense as a leader that this is a stewardship. This is temporary responsibility placed on me right now. And it's not, hey, these are your people, you're in charge. God, these are yours, and you've just invited me into this. So there is that authority, but it's that God said, here, all my authority for this body, I'm putting on you, and you're responsible for it. You handle it really, really well. You handle it carefully.
Yes.
Because it's really important. So as a shepherd, what is it like? Because we get to see, like I said, the good, the bad, the ugly, not only in the life of a church, but in the life of people. But what is it like to watch people struggle, hurt, grow, lose close loved ones? What is it like for you as a shepherd to see that?
One of the great blessings of being here 50 years is I have seen that. there's Burke. I knew Burke and Leslie when they first got married. I've watched them all these years grow and go through hard times. Chuck and Lisa Munoz, they were children when they walked in that door. They're grandparents. They've had the good, the hard, the difficult. We have wept together, so many of you. We have wept together. We've had happy times together, haven't we? I've seen marriages seen children grow. I've held the hand of some of your close loved ones while they pass. I've preached their funerals. That's a great, great blessing. It's been heavy at times.
It's heavy.
It's often heavy.
Yes.
But one of the things, and I see this, I see Moses dealing with this, and I think we have to understand this, and it's a two-way street. When you're looking for that man who you want to make an elder, you got to look at us and love us in our imperfection. There are no perfect people. A faithful Christian is not someone who has it all together. I teased with many of you I have this morning. I said, how are you? And he said, I'm good. And I said, well, I'm trying to be good. But it's harder for some of us than it is for others, apparently. And that's really where we all are. We're trying to be God's people in every way. And we're not.
We will do everything God commands.
So, yes. And we don't. So, elders have to be people who love God's church in their imperfections. And the church has to have elders and love them and follow them who are not perfect. We're not always going to lead in the right way. We're going to make mistakes. I think you allow us that. And I love that. Thank you. I speak for all the elders. I speak for the staff. Thank you for letting us be human. Thank you for not trying to put us up on some kind of pedestal. Oh, here's Gary, our preacher, or here's one of our elders. No, don't do that. Don't do that. We'll fall and break ourselves, for sure, because we are flawed, imperfect human beings trying to be faithful to the Lord, and by His Spirit and by His grace, we can show His love and reflect His grace and do some good things, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, but we have to love each other in our imperfection. I think that's what Moses had to struggle with learning, and he finally came to that. These people, these are your people.
One of the things you said just a second ago, too, is elder, and we try to be very intentional about using the word shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that those aren't two separate roles.
Yeah.
The elder shepherd is the same, but we're picking shepherd specifically because of the function of emphasize that this is what it, because that's, I think, traditionally what we've heard is elder.
Yes.
Oh, that's the board.
Well, I really would like to go to bishop.
Bishop.
It just sounds so much more authoritative, don't you think? the scripture, though, that was read up there from Acts 19, Paul called for the elders. That tells who they were. He calls them bishops, which really is just a word. It means overseer of God's people. And then he tells them to shepherd the flock. So you got all three terms: elder, bishop, overseer, shepherd. That's how you do the work. And like you said, there's the function of it. I think elder just refers to someone who has grown up in the faith.
Yeah. And really, I mean, if we look at Moses and even Joshua, they were both 80 when they were handed these people. So, I mean, you should just be getting started.
I like that. Let's stay with that, yes. Yes, if I've got another, do I live to be 120 like Moses?
If you're Moses, you hadn't learned anything yet.
Tell me what you want me to say at your funeral. No, but you know, it's a learning, growing process for all of us, and to see the people grow.
Yes,
you know, in their faith. I mean, those people who came up to the promised land now are totally different from the ones who came up in Numbers 13.
And that's what just blows my mind is Moses, like stops in this moment and says, wait, 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 what about the people? And he's already been told he's not going in. Mm-hmm. He's also been told this generation is not going in. So he's not even talking about who's going to lead this generation that I've been leading. It's who's going to lead future generations.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, goes back to the heart of a shepherd. And Moses, in this pursuit, you know, I've always asked that question. How does he get there and not just say, this is not fair? And it's because I think he's found something so much more significant than the promised land. And it's the presence of God.
It's a heart thing. Let me tell you, again, I came through a period of time when people prayed for the shepherds, Lord, that they'll make good decisions. You know, that's not, we make very few decisions. We got a bunch of deacons who make great decisions. You know what the primary job function of the shepherd, as shepherds as a group, to set the tone, to set the atmosphere. You've all done this. You've been somewhere visiting. You've walked into a church, and you felt there's joy here. There's love here. There's grace here. And you've also walked in a place sometime, and you thought, this doesn't feel right. Let me illustrate this like this. When our kids were little, I'm going to use me and Barbara now instead of pick on you.
Okay, thank you.
Me and Barbara, when our kids were young and at home, we've always been very affectionate, and we'd start hugging and kissing, and you know what the kids do? What do they say?
Ew.
Ooh, get a room. You know, go, that's awful. Blech. But you know what? They love it. That set the tone. There's love in this house. And that made security, that made grace. It is very similar. The eldership sets that tone. When you're in our meetings together, we're not men who always agree on everything. We're kind of in different places. We have different emphasis. But you know what? These are men whose hearts are for Jesus, who will guard with their lives the unity and the love and the grace. It's not that we don't struggle with some things, but that tone that is set there, we love each other, and we're going to get along. We're going to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That is our God-given
in,
responsibility.
In meetings.
And that that feeling permeates.
Meetings, the primary thing that happens in meetings is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually very few things that are on the agenda. And
that have to do with decisions.
There's usually never decisions that are made in that room unless they're really, 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 really big picture. It's prayer, it's people, it's the word, it's
the most important thing we may do is invite you, and many of you have been there, invite you into one of our meetings, and
which means you're in trouble.
They think that so often. we invited one couple in, and she showed up ahead of him and said, I don't know what he's done, but I'm not responsible for it. Nothing. We just want to love and bless you and pray for you and see how you're doing. The most important work we do is that. It's the prayer. It's the love. It's the care. It's the shepherding.
So this is from Corinthians, and Paul says this. He says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's our abide promise this week, but I think that's so fitting to kind of wrap up with you, just because you have labored so long in this and still continue and plan to continue, but loving this church, well, what just in a brief second or two, what would you say is your hope for these people?
Oh, that we maintain the unity that we have, that we grow in love, that we walk in grace and in truth, loving each other, blessing each other. It is the most, I tease and say this, but I'm not teasing. I'm the most blessed man in all the world to have gotten to be part of this for so many years, and for to get to share your lives and be part of them. And you
have blessed me in so much more than I could ever explain. And so I'm thankful for you, and I love you. I want to just ask, would you pray over us as a church as we wrap up?
It would be my joy. Oh, Father, how you have loved us. We have seen your love in a thousand ways. Your blessings overwhelm us. Thank you for making us a family. Thank you for these sweet, precious, beautiful, wonderful people whom you've given us to be our brothers and sisters, our co-workers, to share our lives, to walk together. And we ask your blessings. Lead us in love. Pour out your Spirit on us. Guide our steps. Help us to be wise in all the right ways, exuding love and grace and truth, being a light to this community and a blessing to each other. And thank you for the Gary, this servant of yours who works with us here, and for the joy of his family being part of our family. We're thankful, we praise you, and we ask for your leadership, your guidance as we select more shepherds for this place. Raise up the men that you would call and lead and bless in this work. We pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you too, my brother.